Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
American Emmeline is an entirely hands-on creative, writing, producing, and directing every aspect of her artistic universe. She has become renowned for her spellbinding vocals and fearless feminist perspective, first turning heads via her 2017 performance at the Women's March. With nearly 1 billion global streams under her belt, sold-out shows centered around female empowerment, and a legion of fans around the world, Emmeline has rapidly become one of the most provocative and powerful new voices in pop. Her strident yet insightful output, cinematic music videos, and burgeoning social media presence has continued to flourish, leading to the release of her debut 2025 EP, The Devil on My Bra Strap, ticking off major editorial support, a coveted co-sign from Elton John on Apple Music's Rocket Hour, and securing a spot as a featured artist for YouTube Music Pride. Emmeline has also previously had her music featured in hit series on Apple TV and Netflix, received airplay on domestic and international radio, and achieved RIAA Gold certification. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Emmeline.
Where are you in the world and how are you doing?
I am in Los Angeles and I'm doing wonderfully. I just am having my first cup of coffee.
Why did you choose? Obviously, it is your first name, but why did you choose your stage name? It just should be Emmeline. Was there any thought or a strategy behind this?
It is my birth given name. A lot of people assume I'm like an Emily, but shout out to my mom. Yeah, I mean, I was super inspired by a few iconic three-syllable, one-word, you know, I love like the Rihanna and the Beyonce of it. And yeah, it just felt like my music. I definitely toyed around with even using like my middle name, which is Easton. My pen name, I definitely go by Emmeline Easton. But yeah, I think that there's something to like the femininity that I love that really like encapsulates my music. Yeah, it's the uppercase. Sometimes I show up as lowercase Emmeline without the kiss, and with the kiss, I feel like I'm all caps Emmeline.
Let's rewind. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be on this creative path, and how did that journey progress?
I think I was an artist when I came out of the womb. There was no decision for me or choice. I like have been creating melodies since I was probably like a toddler, making up songs everywhere I go. It felt like the most natural creative instinct for me, but I took myself very seriously. Like I was an incredibly competitive, serious songwriter. When I was probably like 8 or so, I would write a song and if I couldn't remember it the next day, I'd be like, well, it wasn't good enough. Like, you know, I'm like, now I feel like I'm actually like more relaxed than I was at that age. But yeah, I mean, it's always been like that for me. And like, my mom would always have me sing at her dinner parties and all of her friends would be like, you know, oh, like she's so cute. And I would get so upset because I'd be like, this is not cute. Like, this is my career. They just don't know it yet, but I wasn't wrong.
So how did that translate into actually pursuing it?
I just didn't ever give up. I think that taking yourself seriously, even before you've really honed your craft in the way that you want to, is like the best thing you can do for yourself. I was super bullied, honestly, at like prep school and high school. And I, you know, was just like a weirdo. I wore my unique clothes and I made music and I, you know, I was in bands my whole life. But I basically convinced my parents to let me switch out of that into this school that was like the only class you could take there was entrepreneurship. It's like a really interesting structure where you basically teach yourself And I let myself fully immerse in music. So like you literally would teach yourself. Like for math, I studied, music theory. And for science, I studied sound waves. And I wrote essays about my favorite albums. So I fully immersed myself. I wasn't even around other musicians, really, but I just took it really seriously. And then I was around adults, also doing a ton of like professional theater around adults that I could look up to who took art seriously. I think that not a lot of people get that experience. They don't see art as something that you can actually make a living off of. So having that was super inspiring around me. And I basically a week out of high school with that support and from my parents too, they were super supportive of me. I moved at like 18, a week out of high school, straight to LA, knew nobody. I'm from Rhode Island. So I moved cross country and yeah, I just like didn't quit. I had like probably 6 years of trying to get my foot in the door before something even happened. And then yeah, here I still feel like it's just the beginning.
During those 6 years while you're trying to knock on doors and nothing happened, what kept motivating for you to keep going? Was it your passion? Was it your seriousness? Was it your extreme focus that was like, okay, there's another door. I'm just going to go there.
Yeah. I think that I had this mantra from when I was the age that I moved to LA. And I always said to myself, believe in yourself enough to be patient. I said this like out loud every single day. I knew that like my self-belief was more powerful than any obstacle that could come up. And I knew the feeling of when I was creating something, I knew when it felt important. I think the hard thing was that I was walking into anytime I would get a meeting, it would mostly be only with men. And my music is incredibly feminist. It has a very specific target audience. And I would walk in those rooms and I questioned if it was good enough. And maybe that's why it wasn't being received. But really, I wasn't giving it to the right audience at the end of the day. When I did have that first viral moment and there were all of these women saying, oh my God, someone's saying these words, like she's here. And of course there are like amazing men who are fans of me as well and everyone in between. But yeah, when I felt that for the first time, it was so gratifying because it's like, you might not be playing these songs for the right people. Like they might be out there. And if you feel like you have something special, your people are out there and like your friends are out there. It's just a matter of trial and error.
You referenced that you were studying at school the different music, and then you went into music theater and you were surrounded by people that were sort of in the space. I hear a lot of people these days saying, oh, they want to do this or they want to do that, and they're passionate about this and they're passionate about that. But that's where it ends. Those words, they don't put in the work, they don't put in the effort, they don't put in the networking, they don't put in the view and vision to create it outside of those words. I do get a sense, though, that a lot of people have a fear of success, because if they are now successful, means now they now need to show up. They are now accountable. They now need to be seen. They now need to be keeping showing up and to create. First part of the question is, what advice would you give to someone who's struggling to show up? And what are your thoughts around people who have that fear of being successful?
I think it all relates back also to being a human being and in life. I think like obviously applying that to the industry is one thing, and fear of being seen by a ton of people. But if you have a fear of being seen, like you probably have a fear of being seen with the people in your life, with your own circle. So I think it's like, you know, tackling that is going to start with your small circle. With, for me, I'm like, therapy has been like the best thing ever. Cause you know, even as a businesswoman, being able to like confront people when things aren't working out for me and learning how to strengthen those muscles. Like it's all about like being an empowered person at the end of the day. Like you will get your biggest dreams by empowering yourself. But yeah, I mean, I think also for me, I try to remind myself that what I'm creating is way more about me than it is for anyone else. And it will reach the right people when I'm the truest to myself. And my art always falls a little like left of, you know, my heart when I start following instructions and trying to compare myself to like, what does pop sound like? Let me create for them. Like, let me create for what I think people want me to hear. Like, usually that also doesn't end up even being as successful. But I think that focusing in on like who you are and what you want and like ignoring the voices will come, the people will come, your people will come. But I think that like the number one thing is like make the art for you, do whatever you want for your heart and absolutely being authentic. And then the fear almost disappears when you do that because you're not in your head about who am I doing this for? You're just doing it for you. And you're doing it with joy and you're doing it with love. And so taking out all of those like toxic emotions, you're actually going to make your best art. You're going to, even if you're not even speaking about being an artist, you're going to have the best version of whatever your passion is by just being your number one self-love fan, honoring that.
For me, when I started Celeb Savant, so many people say to me, okay, watch other people do interviews. Watch how they do it. Watch what's successful about them. And I'm very much a person that if I do that, then I would have tried to copy them instead of emulate them. And then it wouldn't have been Barrett Celeb Savant. It would have been all these other layers of people that are not me, and it would have not have been successful. So with that, I chose, no, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to research. I'm not going to study. I'm going to tap into me and just do me. So I completely get and understand what you're referring to.
Exactly. It's also like, what are people not doing? Like, that's more of an exciting question to me.
Exactly. And by creating your own, you'll be doing that because you won't be seeing what they're doing.
Exactly. I love that question.
How do you create a song?
Ooh, you know, it really varies. I feel like inspiration can strike from like so many different layers, especially because I do many different things. Like sometimes for me, it's like I have a production idea in my head. Like I hear a little melody and I want to execute that first. And then the melody comes after. And sometimes it's like there's a voice in my head saying a very specific phrase. And I write a poem. And then on one of my upcoming tracks, I've never written this way. I like to keep the canvas open. I hope I write songs in ways I haven't previously going forward. But yeah, I have tried this new thing where, you know, I'll create a loop and then I'll literally read my diary into the microphone. And it creates a very different style of melody. And sometimes that is like, there's this melody that becomes married to those words that, you know, maybe it's more subconscious. I really love to keep it exciting and think outside of the box. I don't think I've ever made a song the same way. It's just like listening to the calling of the creative idea and being excited and following the inspiration however it happens.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work that you do. I love the journey of the choice, the unpacking, the booklets, all those different elements, the whole experience. I'm not sure if you are or not aware, a massive upsurge of physical around the world. 2 years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyl sold, the biggest since 1990. Also last year in the UK, there's a basket of products that they gauge daily exchanges on. There needs to be a high number of exchanges every day for a product to be in the basket, and they monitor it for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs are now back in the basket. The research is showing it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily the older, in inverted commas, nostalgic people. Then we have streaming platforms and those DSPs that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
That's a great question. I do see such a uptick of CDs and vinyls. I also have seen like something I feel like I've never seen before, which was when Taylor Swift just announced her album and she offered, I think it was like 10 different album arts. I'm now seeing a change in people giving alternative arts. Part of me loves this, and then part of me is like, wow, is this going to take away from like the iconic image? When I think of like Thriller, I think of a cover. Yes. Is it going to shift branding? And is this going to also create over consumption and take away the power from smaller artists who won't be able to afford to make vinyls because it will, you know, there it is a material thing as well. And it's really expensive. So I've been thinking a lot about that. It also excites me because I'm like, ooh, maybe I can do like a few different versions of a vinyl. But I do think that I like look up to like very specific iconic images. And so I do think there's going to be like a shift in that, which will be cool to watch unfold. But, you know, I'm such a nostalgia girl. Like, you know, I'm constantly on my phone. I like post videos all the time on my phone. I love vinyls. I also think most people have, you know, their work on their phone, their social life on their phone, stress on their phone, joy on their phone. Like, it's a lot. So I also would think that maybe, at least this is how I feel, maybe having these physical items where no one's tracking us, no one knows what album we listen to, there's sort of this freedom in, you know, and I would also maybe relate this to cameras, like the Polaroids coming back and all these items where we can just exist and consume media without letting whoever is tracking us know. So that's at least how I feel. I feel like I, you know, I like write in my journal and I love listening to music on vinyl. But it does make sense that it's the young kids because at this point, we have such advanced technology that it's like this non-advanced technology is new. I've been really excited, like as a producer, I just got like a tape machine and I've been like running my vocals through that and trying to see like that process and trying to see if I can make sounds that sound like, you know, those older records from vinyl. So it is cool how it cycles in and out. And I'm sure what's modern now will obviously one day be nostalgic to a future generation. But yeah, those were so many different thoughts. But those are my thoughts on everything right now.
I know it's all secretive in your guys' world. So what is coming up over the next period of time?
My God, I feel so ahead of myself. I'm working on my debut album. Top of the year, I will be putting out my debut album and I'm working on a tour, actually. I haven't announced the dates yet, but I have like an RSVP and I want to take this, you know, international. I have so many international fans. I think that's like the most beautiful thing in the world. Usually in my fan chats, like I have someone from a different country, like in every comment. So I really want to like follow that love. And, you know, it's also why like I wanted to do press in Australia because I have so many Australian fans and like I want to speak directly to those fans and reciprocate that love. So anyway, yeah, so I'm working on a tour. I'm working on an album. I'm working on, already the music after that album. So I feel like I'm always like hands everywhere. But yeah, because I have so much music done, that gives me the freedom to like travel the world and do shows and do videos. So I feel like I'm kind of like living a double life, which is awesome.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
I grew up performing live. I feel like I get to be like my utmost self and there's absolutely no rules for me because it's my show. I think that though, like the most gratifying thing is like seeing actual people. So much of my communication is again, like on my phone and being able to like literally like sing a song that was about my life, something that maybe I've healed from, maybe I haven't, but then like seeing the look in someone's eyes where like they clearly have some story. Like every single person has some story, there's some reason they're at my show. And in their eyes, like you can see that they listen to this song to like get through something or to fall in love or to fall out of love. You know, sometimes I really form that connection while I'm on stage. I kind of like zone out. Like if I'm like ascending while singing something, I lock in with like those people and I can just kind of like see and they can see me that like, you know, we've been through something similar. And that's why they're here. So there is just like that human connection. And this time, like, it's very important. I want to, like, hug everyone. I think that, like, just, like, the human element, while I get to basically do the thing that I love the most and then connect on such a very deep level with just, like, something so simple, is really amazing.
So I'm that dude that's right up in front. I'm dancing. I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for a couple of songs, couple of videos. I put it away. I notice these days a lot of people are videoing and posting and whatever they're doing for a lot of time. You reference seeing people in the eyes, but and yet a lot of them are holding their phones. So from a person on the stage potentially seeing more phones than eyes, do you find that takes away from that connection, or it's just where society is at this stage?
I do think that it takes away from the connection. I also notice a lot of artists saying, okay, we're all going to put our phones down for this one song so that the artist can get that full moment. Like, that's why people do that. And everyone's like, wow, that was amazing. But yeah, I mean, I totally think that it can take away. Also, like, if I see someone who's, like, looking at the phone while filming and not looking at me, I'm like, I'm honestly, like, I'm probably not going to look at that person. I like to entertain the camera. Like, I love attention. So, like, I'll do a little performance for the camera. But I completely think that, like, that's why people do the put your phone away thing. Yeah, I went to a Cigarettes After Sex show. I've been a fan of them forever since I was in high school. And I found them, like, on YouTube. I don't even know if they had streaming, like, out for so long. But I went to that show and they've blown up on, like, on social media, on TikTok. Their music is everywhere, and it was like a sea of phones, and I love that music too. I was like, I literally felt like the only person who wasn't holding my phone up. It was really shocking, honestly. But it also is interesting, I think, that, like, that's why I want to build my live show so much, because, like, you do see now too the TikTok moment, or like the trending moment where everyone takes out their phone for the moment and then puts it down, which I think that's kind of funny. But I think that it's cool because it just is a reflection of the time. I love eye contact and connection. Yes.
You referenced earlier about creating and doing an album. I speak to a lot of artists and they say, no, it's a time for the EP. It's time for the single. They're not focusing on the album. For you, why is it important? I love an album. I love the body of work. And I'm like, where's this album? I don't want the single and after single, you know. Besides that element, what else is motivating you to create a body of work of an album?
Yeah. Well, I've never dropped an album. I've always wanted to. It's been kind of like my life goal. I was on a label for a while. I think I was averaging like 3 songs a year tops, singles only. You know, I had signed a 3 album deal. So in my head, I was expecting, like, all right, I'm going to be working on an album. Yeah, it was the landscape. And that was like a marketing decision to, like, to get the most eyes possible. For me, when I think of the artist I want to be, you have to think about the legacy and the artistry. And first of all, when I look back at, you know, my idols, you know, you think about iconic artists, what makes them iconic? They've, like, created a world, and then they've created a new world. And then a few years later, I mean, I grew up on, like, worshiping all these different pieces of what makes a beautiful body of work. The transitions between songs, the flow of it all, the storytelling. Yeah, I mean, it's been a dream of mine to put out an album. I think that sometimes, like, you kind of have to wait for the album to show itself to you. But I think, like, when I was on Capitol Records, I was on a major label. And when I was with them, it was, you know, it was very much about numbers, understandably. I basically, like, in secret was, like, planning my album. Like, I just was like, all right, I want to do this. Like, I'm just not going to tell them. Like, I'm just not going to stop. I knew what the album was when I walked into the studio and met that person and was like, okay, you're it. We're going to do this together. And if they don't agree with it, then I'll figure out a way to out of this contract. And, like, nothing is going to stop this art. Yeah. So now I honestly feel like I have, like, swung the pendulum to, like, I mean, there's going to be some, like, artistic interludes and spoken word. And, like, I want everyone to know who I am. Like, you know, I have great songs, but I want every layer of who I am. I want you to, I want everyone to know what I'm like when I'm strong, when I'm sad, when I'm weak. All of those things are all me. And I think that, you know, I want to be a human now.
That's it's my interesting answer. You say that, be a human now. And no disrespect in any way or form, because they are both important in the landscape. But when an artist, and maybe from your perspective, when an artist is signed to a big label, can you often feel like you're no longer a human and you're just a number in the cog machine?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the people you're around. I loved the people who signed me. The place I left at my label was completely different from the place that I, when I joined. Like, I was around different people. That happens a lot. People get switched in and out. It's like a very common artist experience. It's like the experience. I honestly wanted to learn everything. But yeah, I mean, I think that it can be a bit dehumanizing. I like really empathize with artists who have had a viral moment on one thing. And for me, luckily, like that was my breakthrough song, was with themes of confidence and empowerment. So like, I basically wanted to go into the studio and like make what worked. And I was kind of being told to continue to make what worked because that was my thing. But I also think that, like, oh my God, imagine an artist that's really sad and the only thing that's streaming is their sad songs. They're almost going to make their whole life sad because, you know, that's what works. So you kind of like want to almost immerse yourself in those, that advice and follow what works. But also, you know, I think that might hold you back too. And there are so many different pieces of each of us as people, and it doesn't make it off brand to, you know, express array of emotions. I think it actually makes it more on brand because you can show like the depth of your character even more. So yeah, I think that I'm really excited to express my human. And yeah, I think that it is a business. So I completely understand where like that advice comes from. But I also think that letting yourself be many things is equally important.
So the picture I like to create is that of the animal, of the octopus. The body of the octopus is who we are. And you can have as many tentacles as you want. And these days, so many people define themselves as accountant, as secretary, as singer who sings pop, where you can have as many. I think it's societal now is allowing us to have grow more tentacles, but there's still that a little bit of resistance from, okay, you can only be this in inverted commas. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question today, tomorrow, or the next day, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five artists, other artists, once you finish this conversation, who would those five artists be?
I've been craving the song Benny and the Jets for 3 days. I need to listen to that. I got a shout out from Elton the other day, which I don't care if any label likes me. Like one of my idols does. That's really who like my inner child is excited about. Honestly, I love Elton John. I have been really inspired by 10cc right now, finishing up this album. You're right, it will change every day. You know, maybe something like acoustic. After I get the dancing out of my system, I honestly like love some Elliott Smith. But then I have to like bounce back with something like a little bit less depressing. I'll probably throw myself in there. I listen to myself every day. And then let me think, maybe Madonna. She's been a huge inspiration for me in many layers for this next project. All kind of like not modern artists besides myself, funny enough. I like my grandparent references instead of my parent references artistically, if that makes sense.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say to the audience?
I would like to say to the audience, say out loud to yourself in the mirror, that thing that you want that you've been too scared to say out loud. And then it will be less scary. And then it's out in the air and maybe it will happen. Because that's what happened with my life, honestly. And I feel like I just talked about that experience.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.